When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mentioned this at the start of the show. I don't know if I've ever watched a sporting event quite like I watched that Laker game last night, where they won.
Odd.
And it's like, all right, they won. They're in. They've secured themselves a playoff spot because, you know, anything can happen in the playoffs. But it's like, oh, the Nuggets, man, oh, man. All right. As they're getting ready to blow a pretty good-sized lead, Zion Williamson is absolutely dusting them. And I didn't hate every single second of it because, look, if we lose, okay, cool. There's another game on Friday night against a team that I think they got a pretty good chance of beating at home. And, oh, by the way, OKC is waiting for you if you're the eight. It was such a weird ride where I wouldn't say I was exactly rooting against them, but I wasn't – had they been getting demolished by Zion like that in a, hey, if you're out, you lose, I would have been losing my mind. It wasn't like that at all. It was very odd.
I don't remember. I'm trying to think here. I don't remember another sporting event. And there's a reason why I think Laker fans were all over the place. And it's funny you describing that emotion because I'm feeling the exact same way. They go up early and it's like, okay, you know what? They already beat them last game by 30, or they were up at 32 at some point. Now they're up 18 against the Pelicans. Guys, let's stop this whole thing of, well, if they lose, then they still got a chance to get to the Lakers are beating the Pelicans. That's it. Then 18 goes down to like 10. And then 10 goes down to like 6. And then, you know, Zion does.
It was happening fast, too.
Happening fast. Now the Pelicans crowd's going crazy. And it was – there was other guys, too, like Herb Jones and Jose Alvarado.
Alvarado was awesome.
Jose Alvarado. And Zion is doing his thing. Zion was the best player on the floor yesterday. And that's with LeBron and Anthony Davis out there. He ends up with 40 points. Zion ties the game with about 3 minutes left to go. And I thought in my mind, I'm like, okay, well – I kind of started already kind of planning in my head. I'm like, okay, so they're going to have a home game on Friday. I did. I started thinking they're going to have home. When there's 3 minutes left to go and Zion tied the game before he went out for his injury,
yep.
I think the Lakers were going to win the game.
I didn't either.
All the momentum was going towards. When you watch the Lakers lose, there was something about yesterday's game that's a perfect foundation of when the Lakers lose. Nobody moves anymore.
Yeah.
Bron is just dribbling the ball.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis is not asking for the ball. Darvin looks a little kind of like, okay.
Like he doesn't know what he's doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Take that entire combination. Take that combination of things. And that was basically leading up to Zion's injury. Zion gets hurt. He's out. It's like, okay, Lakers are probably going to win this thing because the best player on the floor is not there. But I'm going to stop you for a quick second. The chances of playing the Oklahoma City Thunder.
It's off the ground.
The chances of playing Oklahoma City Thunder potentially versus playing the Denver Nuggets potentially, how does that not go through your head? It's such a drastic difference.
But there was no guarantee they were even going to get to OKC. Sure. But it didn't feel catastrophic the way usually losses at this time of the season can feel catastrophic. It's weird. They're going to have to be a lot better because let's stay here for a second. Zion Williamson was demolishing Lakers for almost the entire second half, that he decided, I'm just going to go to the basket, I'm going to get lobs, I'm going to knock down shots, and there didn't feel like there was anybody in the building that had a chance to stop him. Nobody. And with that little back door that he did on LeBron, where LeBron just completely lost track of him, like he was taking one of the greatest players of all time to school a little bit for a few minutes. And you're like, uh-oh, that guy's the best guy on the court. No one's got an answer for him.
First time we've really seen. This is the highest stake of a game for Zion that we've seen.
It's the first non-regular season game that he had ever played in.
Yep.
And he was ready for it right up until he got hurt without anybody touching him. It was just really fortunate for the Lakers, really incredibly unfortunate for him and the Pelicans, but also, oddly, not surprising. Like, that he went out with that injury, were you like, oh, no way? I wasn't. It was like, oh, yeah, there you go again. A guy that has had trouble staying healthy, guy that's had trouble staying fit, broke at the worst possible time. Not a surprise.
So Walsh put this out there. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Okay, well, now you're assuming the season's over by the time he comes back. Because even if you win against the Kings, now you got the Thunder. You're going to play a seven-game set against the Thunder without Zion. Your season's going to be over. That's probably the last time we saw Zion was going to be last night. But there is something about – remember there was a lot being made about Zion dropped a lot of weight?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm watching him yesterday, and I'm like, okay, maybe he just weighed a lot more, and I could – or you know, sometimes somebody could drop weight, but because – you can't even tell if it was 20 pounds.
He's such a big guy.
Probably going to look a little bit different. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that are looking at Zion, and that's going to be the criticism towards him, because that's kind of been the criticism towards his career so far.
Once your fitness is a part of your equation, it's a part of your equation until it's not a topic for a super long time. My hand is firmly in the air. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I am much lighter than I am at other times. Right now, I'm in a good spot. But no one's believing that this is the new me, that I'm the guy that walks every day and that makes good food choices. And because I there's 50 years of evidence to support the other thing.
Sure, sure.
Right? So I would have to live my life like this for a few years before it'd be like, yeah, Trav just changed his way, lives his life. That's where Zion, a totally different scale, but it's the same idea. He's up, he's down. The play-in tournament, not the play-in tournament, the mid-season tournament, in-season tournament. The topic wasn't that the Lakers beat them by 100 that night, which they did. It's, my, oh my, did you see Zion? Like his guts swinging back and forth. It's like, oh my gosh, what's going on with that guy? And then he did lose a lot of weight. But he's never going to look like Brandon Ingram.
No.
He's never going to look like LeBron James. Mm-mm. He's never going to look like that. He's always going to carry a little bit extra, but it feels more than just a little. And it broke at the worst, but he broke at the worst possible time. He's out for the Friday night game against Sacramento. Who knows if they win, if he's able to come back at some point or another. It was a drag because it felt like, okay, there he is. It's finally happening for him in a big moment where everybody gets to see it and gone.
I remember there was a story Barkley said when he came out of college. He gets drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers. So he's with the Sixers. And there were a lot of vets on that team. And I hope we see this with Zion. Here's the unfortunate part about his situation with New Orleans. He didn't have Moses Malone on the team or, you know, somebody like that he truly respected. Hall of Famer, the whole thing. I guess there was a story that Barkley, first off, I don't think wanted to be drafted by the Sixers. So, like, on purpose, he was completely out of shape. And Moses Malone one time pulled him and said, you got to drop some weight. And he's like, okay. So he respected him. And he goes, I think he went from like 270 to 260. And Moses would say, drop another 10. Okay. Goes from 260 to 250. Drop another 10. And this was all based off of how Moses Malone was watching Barkley in practices and games and everything else.
Sure.
Drop another 10. And I think he got all the way down to 230. And Barkley said, I didn't like my weight there. Now all of a sudden I couldn't be me. I was too thin. So he got up to whatever, 240, 245. But they found the weight.
Yeah.
And he listened to Moses Malone. I use Barkley as an example because I think Barkley's a good example. That guy was never, you know, chiseled in the NBA.
No.
Barkley was kind of a thicker guy.
But as he got older into the league, he was fit way more often than he wasn't. Like when he was in the Suns, he was fit. When he was in Houston, he's pretty fit. The Philly thing, he was yo-yoing a little bit. But it's just it's a drag because the Lakers probably have a game on Friday night if he doesn't get hurt. It just felt like that we were really headed in that direction. Now, the Lakers, the good news for them is they do get 3 days off.
Yeah.
Right? You get today, tomorrow, and Friday, play Saturday. I do think that the way that the first round is structured, there's just more built-in off days. Mm-hmm. The Lakers are – Their most important guys are either old or a little nicked up right now, mm-hmm. right? AD's back's probably AD did not look good last night at all. Neither did LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Neither did LeBron. Those two guys have to be the best versions of themselves to beat the Nuggets, to even win a couple of games against the Nuggets. They got to be 10 out of 10s. The only way that's going to happen multiple times is with additional rest that only exists in the first round. It's a tough assignment. They're probably going to lose. But if you're going to beat them, it's in the first round. I really do believe that because of the built-in rest.
Saturday you play in Denver. Monday you play again in Denver. Then you're going to get 2 days off before you play again on Thursday back at Crypto. So you're basically playing three games in a span of like 6 days. Yeah, that's very advantageous to the Lakers. That's very advantageous to players like LeBron. Now, the elevation's not going to help and everything else, but look, it's the Nuggets. That's the class of the NBA.
You got to be on top of your you-know-what, right? I mean, as simple as that.
Everybody.
Right.
Like, it's not going to be – and maybe you don't have to do it every night because
– You have to do it four times.
You have to do it four times. You have to do a 4 out of 7. And I don't even like looking at – I don't even like looking at that series yet as in you got to win 4 because that sounds so overwhelming. They're 0-8 in their last 8 games against the Denver Nuggets. But is there a way – we've all watched these games. A lot of Laker fans have watched all these games. It's not like the Lakers. I know the final score says they lost by 8 or 10, but with 4 or 5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, they're not down 15. It's actually a close game. Can you get one of those games to turn your way? Can you get one of those games all of a sudden to swing your way? It's not like Denver is going to overreact to
it. I was going to ask you, at what point, how deep into the series does it have to get before the Nuggets are like, hey, hold on a second, we got to really...
I have
buckle down. Is it game 7?
It's 2-2.
Is it 2-2?
I think 2-2. You got the Nuggets' attention. Like, guys, we're in a position right now where this next game could be the difference of us winning a series or losing. I think 2-2. Because you're also growing confidence if you're the Lakers that you can actually beat the Nuggets if you're 2-2. I think it's 2-2.
Yeah, it's – I don't even know if it's not until maybe game 7. Because now you –
Where the pressure's there?
Well, yeah, to where not just – pressure of, hey, they're more competitive than we thought. But like we've talked about a million times with baseball playoffs and with this play-in thing and everything else, once the randomness of one game is brought in,
That's true. You just now
I don't have total control over it. I have some control, but not entire control. It's a different thing. Why are you in here?
So I'm to tell you something. So by the way, if you're listening on the app, please listen to the app and YouTube that is working right now. We know that we are down, so you guys are looking.
What?
Looking. We are off the air currently on 710. It will be back up shortly.
Okay.
But we are working on it, so if you two can just continue talking.
Did the hamster die in the wheel or something? Like what happened?
It will be put back up. It'll be up soon. I'm getting a new hamster. You know what's going on. So if you guys can just keep going for a while, and you guys are doing great.
Like
just,
now?
Yes. Yes.
Like just keep going?
Just keep going. Just keep talking. You're fine. You know what you guys are talking about.
I shot so all the best that was I had
remember
the last
when LeBron
5 minutes.
Did Have the whole, whole day, no breaks?
That's right.
LeBron broke the record, and so he did an entire 3 hours.
I got a haiku.
I think I've read all my haikus. I could come up with some more. But I really do think that that's kind of where it is, Slee. That now, hey, listen, if LeBron goes for 40, we're back?
You
can
take whenever you want
to. Oh,
we're back.
That was easy.
The hell? You just get into
Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, it's a Lakers winning Wednesday on 710 as we react to everything last night in New Orleans. Lakers looking obviously ahead to game one of the playoffs on Saturday night against the Denver Nuggets. By the way, tip-off's going to be at 5:30. Don't miss a moment today on 710. Keep checking back with us all day long. And don't forget that all this reaction is made possible by Michelob Ultra, 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it.
They're talking about the Warriors on NBA Today right now on ESPN. That's over. I mean, I think it's a fun topic. We talked about it a second ago, too, but make the case why you run it back again. Try to make the case why the three-headed monster of those three guys are still the core of a championship team moving forward.
I think the only way you can make a case for it is you can say, look, we've done this before where we remixed everything. And we did go out there in the offseason, and we traded for guys like Andrew Wiggins and – they've done a really good job drafting and developing some of these younger players. So those are obviously going to be cheap options for now. You don't have to pay them yet. Chris Paul, he's going to be gone. So you don't have to worry about Chris Paul anymore.
What a weird season that was.
That you can say, look, Clay is going to come in at a discounted rate, and he's going to come in off the bench, and he's going to play only based off of production, not the name Clay Thompson. That's the only case that I can make, that you're not going to get tied up and now all of a sudden, you know, any flexibility that you have is gone. That's the case I can make, and I don't believe it because they were 10th this year.
They barely got in a year where you made the point, Memphis was
getting better next year.
Memphis is a playoff team with their guys.
They are a playoff team.
The Houston Rockets are
an interesting team.
Better. Wemby is going to be on a playoff team sooner than later.
Who's coming out?
Well,
I think Golden State's the one I look at and say that might be the team coming out.
And the other one is if they run it back again, at least potentially could be the Lakers.
Could be the Lakers.
Right? Because they've been floating in that same kind of section of the standings
they
that the
own
Warriors
that real
have been.
Estate.
They kind of do. But they did win last night. Changing gears here a little bit. Did you get a chance to read the Bill Belichick piece in ESPN.com? So Don Van Natta, Seth Wickersham, and Jeremy Fowler collaborated on a piece about why Bill Belichick is unemployed. Mm-hmm. I would encourage everybody to read it. I'm going to tell you what I think about it, and I don't mean to poison the well, but it may. This is basically an article of Bill Belichick and Bob Kraft calling each other names and saying, I'm not employed because you sabotaged it. And Bob Kraft's team saying, no, you're not employed because you were a bad guy while you were here.
Yeah.
That's the takeaway was that. And I think all things can be true.
I was going to say, I think
at the same time,
right.
I think they are too.
Yeah.
It just, Bill Belichick is in his 70s. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick.
Has done the same way for the entire time that he's been a coach, has been very successful. And so if you've been successful, you've been doing it for a long time. Why change? Why?
And you don't change. The older you get, it's not like all of a sudden you start changing.
And his last couple years with the Patriots, why they sucked, is they didn't have a quarterback. Okay, so he can use that as an excuse. I didn't have a quarterback. What do you expect from me? Mm-hmm. You know? So I think that, like, Bill has some reasoning to why his motives have how his methods have worked.
Here's, I think, the bigger question. We just all assumed in the offseason Belichick's going to have a job.
Yes.
We assumed that, by the way, with a couple. We assumed that with Vrabel. What? We assumed that with potentially with Pete Carroll. Maybe a little bit less with Pete Carroll, but we assumed that. What happens if he doesn't coach this year? Are we still thinking Belichick's going to get a job?
So he, what is it, 15 is the number? He's 15 wins short of breaking Don Shula's all-time record?
2 to 3 years.
Two mediocre seasons gets him over the top. He's 72.
Okay.
Here's the part about that with Belichick. I think if you work every day, and you go to work every day, you put in long hours, and you just you stay on that treadmill, right? That Bill Belichick's been a football coach for his entire life, and during football season, I work 18, 19 hours a day. This is just the reality of what I do. That you can do it into your 60s and into your 70s as long as you do it.
Because it's all you know, and you don't stop doing it.
This is what I do. I'm for lack of a better word, I'm in shape. I'm in shape to be a football coach, but this is the grind. Second, you're off that grind, I think it's really hard to jump back in there. If you go from working 18 hours a day to working 4 hours a day, 2 days a week, you're really dying to jump back in at 18 hours a day. And even if you think you are, just the shock to the system of going in there, I think is a big deal. And the other part is, he is a short timer. He is there to break that record. Yeah. Bill Belichick to rebuild the Patriot way would take a long time to do it, I think.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the time, and he's a pain in the ass.
In the article, too, they talk about how some teams, you know, had put in their mind, maybe we'll take a chance at the Bill Belichick experience because we want to win. We want to win now. We're built to win now.
Any specific team that they thought?
So Eagles were one that was talked about the idea of a Bill Belichick before, without Nick Sirianni being gone. And they talked about how when you get into the Bill Belichick game, you start, it says, quote, you'll have to start all over again. Who would replace him? He hasn't had a good record of developing coaches. They're afraid that that he'll have changed everything in every person, and then they'll be starting from scratch again. He didn't demand those changes, but it felt like if we hire him, we have to give him everything to him and trust how he does it. Because if you get into the Bill Belichick game, it is a short-term game. It is a win literally right now, next 2 years. After that, you are in rebuild mode because he will strip your team of everything.
And there's no guarantee you're going to win.
Yes.
There's no guarantee you're going to win.
15 wins could take him 3 seasons if it's on the wrong team.
If it's on the wrong team, it absolutely could. Mm-hmm. It's so funny to read this, though, because every quote that's negative about Bill Belichick, you're like, well, that either came from Kraft or somebody very close to Kraft. Every negative quote about Bob Kraft came from Bill Belichick or somebody close to Bill Belichick. It's this, well, you'll never have a civil conversation with him. Well, I never thought I would. Like, this idea, well, I'll change. Well, that's from Bill Belichick. No, no, you're not. You're 72 years old. You got six Super Bowl titles. You're Bill Belichick. You imagine this scenario. Get the whole brass together, right? We're going to pull everybody in together. The guy that's got a resume as long as both of his arms put together is sitting there and says, I think we should do it like this. And the GM goes, well, I think differently. Instead of left, I think we should go right. You think Bill Belichick's going right? Not in a million years.
I don't think Belichick's taken a job where he knows.
He said he would, according to these anonymous quotes, people close to Bill Belichick saying that he will, you know, he's willing to collaborate.
I will tell you, you can say all the right things before you get into that position. If you're Bill Belichick and you have a hard stance on something, I have a tough job. I have a tough time believing that that would happen.
There was somebody quoted in the piece about Bob Kraft calling Arthur Blank, who owns the Falcons, and telling him, be careful with this guy. Be careful if you give him your trust. Basically just demolishing his character.
Let's just say Belichick doesn't have on his LinkedIn when he's interviewing somewhere. I don't think he's got Robert Kraft on there.
Like. It's amazing.
I also think that it's interesting. The specific teams he called out, teams that he would be interested in coaching for, it was the Dallas Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the New York Giants. So Dallas Cowboys sounds like an easy fit. I think Jerry Jones would want the box office of Bill Belichick, but if that was going to happen, it should have already happened.
What's the rub on Jerry Jones for the last 30 plus years.
He wants to be in control.
Yes.
Yes.
So Belichick, well, I know they're buddies and they're tight and they've been together, but Belichick doesn't check the most important box of all. Whereas if Bill Belichick came in, let's say the Cowboys win the Super Bowl next year, who gets the credit? Bill Belichick gets the credit.
I think that the best option, if I was a team out there, I think the Philadelphia Eagles would be the best option for him. I think that they are.
What's the third team in?
They're most ready.
The Giants.
The Giants don't have a quarterback. So it's going to be the same situation they had with the Patriots. They're not going to be very good. The Philadelphia Eagles, though, have a quarterback, have a team. They had a lot of people leave in this offseason. They had some offensive line leave, which is the reason why Jalen Hurts is so great. But I do think that Bill Belichick could do a lot with the Philadelphia Eagles. So of the three teams, I think Eagles should be the most listening.
What do you mean the Giants don't have a quarterback? Did you not see Daniel Jones answering questions the other day?
With his eyes bugged out of his head.
What
the
hell was that?
It looks AI. I know it's not. It looks AI.
It was weird.
What the hell is his eyes doing?
I don't know. Like,
how can you be that focused on something?
Have you ever had a conversation with somebody? Like, I think when we all talk to each other, to a degree, you make eye contact. I make contact with Al. I make eye contact with Jorge.
But
with
I'm
Emily.
Not doing this.
But right, you're not unblinking like a hostage staring at somebody the entire time like you're trying to see through their soul. It was so strange. Bill Belichick plus Daniel Jones. Let's go. Hot and cold coming up next is Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Rotolo Chevrolet, dealer of the year, 14 years in a row. How about that? 14 years in a row. Think about a guy that wins the MVP 2 years in a row. Oh my gosh, he's a legend. He's going to the Hall of Fame. 14 years in a row, that doesn't happen unless we're talking about Rotolo Chevrolet. So if you've been thinking about a Chevy Silverado, like me, if you've been thinking about any of Chevy cars and trucks, you got to go to Rotolo because the selection, they've got what you're looking for. The pricing, you're going to get a great price on it. But the customer service, second to none. That's what they hang their hat on, and for good reason, because you're going to tell your friends, they're going to tell theirs, and this is what Rotolo does day after day. You see Mike Capozzo on TV. You've heard him on this show. He's dancing. He's having a good time, but he's serious about customer service. He's going to make sure that you have an experience that you tell everybody about. Courteous, transparent, upfront. You're going to feel great about your trip to Rotolo Chevrolet. Right off the 210 freeway, Sierra Avenue exit. You can't miss it. Sea of Silverados. Tell them that Travis sent you in. And if Fontana maybe isn't around the corner from you, go online. RotoloChevy.com. R-O-T-O-L-O. RotoloChevy.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, before we get to who's hot and who's cold, I have another haiku for you, okay? So it's about Travis. So this says, Travis is so old, Travis used candles before electricity.
Wait, hit me with that again.
Travis is so old.
Okay.
Travis used candles before electricity.
I like that. Okay. Yes. I like that.
Electricity is one of those five-syllable words.
That's my favorite way to end it, is with one five-syllable word at the
extravaganza,
end. Extravaganza.
Administration.
Administration. What was that one there?
Electricity.
Electricity. Yeah. Slee's still counting.
Well, Shannon's trying to find one of five. I think responsibilities is six.
Responsibility. Yeah, six. Doesn't work.
Too bad. All right, so who's hot is Travis Kelce, not only because who he is romantically entangled with, but because he is going to host Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity on Amazon Prime. So the idea of it is similar to Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, where a adult contestant is competing and to answer questions, and both the elementary school students are answering questions, and the elementary school student can help the contestant. Okay, so it's going to be flipped a little bit, where it's going to be one adult. So say me, I'm competing on Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity, and then there's a panel of about six celebrities ranging from sports, music, TV. So it's Taylor Swift, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Travis Scott, and it's Adele are the celebrities.
It's a good
and
panel.
They are going to answer the same questions that I'm going to answer. And they're all based on elementary school level, they say, questions. Okay, so I thought about, what is a celebrity that you guys think is actually like very smart, like that you would want to be on your side to help you if you're in an Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity situation?
So what you're describing a little bit, I know Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader is kind of the seed from which this idea has grown. But at least from my understanding of what you're describing, this is more like the Match Game from back, like where you have a panel and you ask me a question like, Zion Williamson is so hungry that when he goes to the store, he blanks. And yeah. Right, and everybody has to fill in the blank and you guess and you try to match as often as you can.
Yeah.
So it feels a little bit more
and
like that.
I feel like that's more like Family Feudy, where you're trying to get the most common answer as opposed to like the correct answer. And also, if you guys watch RuPaul's Drag Race, they do a Snatch Game, which they all dress up as celebrities. Anyway,
okay.
It's great.
Here, you're going to dislike this, but I think you'll also be like, that's not a terrible answer. Like a celebrity that if you had to go to him for actual answers to random tidbits of stuff, Aaron Rodgers is not a bad choice there. As long as we're in a certain lane in the freeway.
He might give you the wrong answers on things.
Some things, but he fancies himself informed in all areas. And I don't think it's all areas, but I think it's some. I think that's one. And you guys know Mark Duplass?
I don't think I do, no.
So he goes on Celebrity Jeopardy and cleans up every year. And he's very bright. He's an actor. He's a producer,
director.
He was in The League.
Oh, yeah,
you ever watch The League?
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now.
Yeah,
yep.
So he'd be my second choice, I think, if not my first.
All right, so I'm just going to tell you who is just known for, and this is going to be more athlete related. Pau Gasol seems like a very, 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 not seems like, he is a very, very intelligent human being.
He is.
Yeah, for sure.
That would be somebody.
Aren't
that
both of his parents like
doctors,
surgeons or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So I think.
Honestly, if rest in peace, Kobe would have been great for this too.
Sure.
Because he's so well rounded and had so many things that he was really interested in. He would have been a choice as well.
Another one that's, again, I'll stay with sports, your former partner here, and obviously a part of 710 for a while, Marcellus Wiley. Mm. Marcellus is, dude went to Columbia.
No, Marcellus is very bright, but I also got the sense that he was making up half the things he said.
Like Aaron Rodgers.
That's funny.
And I would tell that to Marcellus if he were sitting right
That's
here.
That's great. There's a couple right there.
Jorge, who do you think you would think that would be great to help you with a show like this?
I think somebody like J.J. Redick. The way him and LeBron were breaking down that
Duke grad.
Yeah, I was like, dude, like they were talking code or something. I don't know. Saw some of those clips and I was like, I don't get half of the stuff you guys are talking about. But
that's one of those, they speak the same language. Like, right. They've come from different parts of the world, but they speak exactly the same language.
And they're both so, like, immersed in it.
Yeah.
You absolutely love it, too.
Shaq. Shaq's gonna, it would just be fun, just for fun.
You'd be out early.
But just for ratings.
I feel like Emma Stone, I would definitely pick as somebody because I think she is very smart. She like wants to be in Jeopardy really badly. She knows a lot of trivia and tidbits, so I think she has a lot
but
of
But she won't take the celebrity path, right? She wants to earn her way into the regular field.
But if it was, if I could pick her,
yeah.
I think I would pick her.
It's a good choice.
I was thinking... like maybe like Marty Scorsese because he has such a knowledge of a lot of things because he talks about most of his movies are historical or like set in popular culture at the time. So I feel like he maybe has a broad width of things he knows about.
Maybe he'd get a question about the Rolling Stones too. Yeah. He would nail that.
And yeah, it'd be really good on that. So now time for What's Cold. What's Cold is the Blair Witch Project reboot. Okay, so Blair Witch Project, I'm sure everyone has seen or at least heard about. 1999, another one of those movies.
I loved that movie.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
It's great.
I saw it three times in the movie theater.
I was going to say, I think it was, I don't know if it's the first of its kind.
It was something different.
Of the found film.
Yeah. It was different.
Found footage, it was unique. So it's unique not only because what they did with the handheld cameras and everything, but they did it because they basically messed with everybody on the project. The actors had no idea what was happening. They were given stuff on the day, like, hey, here's basically the objective of your character, go do it. They weren't given lines, they weren't given, hey, this is going to happen, and they were truly terrified. And something that can't really be redone because you know what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is, it's something that it was very special, and maybe it was a little bit not up to par with how you should treat your actors and everything. Like, they cut some corners on stuff, but it
got
made
away with it just in time.
Cult classic. And a truly unique movie, which really comes about.
Can I ask you a question? I don't know what the perception is of those like in the industry. Is it considered a cult classic?
It is considered by the industry top tier in terms of like unique filmmaking.
No.
Incredibly popular. I missed it somehow.
Yeah.
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, you never watched it?
Yeah, I saw the chance to.
Yeah, I was in this late 90s, something like
99.
That?
99.
I was in high school.
I was able to see it 1,000 different ways. I knew it was popular. It's a genre of movie that's like a horror movie that's not really my thing, so I just never got there. But it's been in the zeitgeist forever. It's still kind of referred to as like that style of movie, like Blair Witchy kind of. I've never seen it.
Well, you have the chance to. It's on, believe it, it's on Hulu. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because they are attempting a reboot with none of the original filmmakers. One, they've done this before. They've done sequels before, I believe in like 06 and maybe in 2000. Again, not with...
To Blair Witch?
Yeah. Not with the original people. And so they sucked. The fans of it hated it because you don't get that special stuff of... It was all surprise. It was all kind of seat of your pants.
You
it's very punk rock in the way of movies. Whatever. So they're attempting a reboot for this movie, and I think that it will be the worst thing out there. And so, and ruin something.
Can I ask
that's
a question? Is there a movie that you hold in high regard that has been remade that you also like the remake of?
So. Speaking of which, so The Talented Mr. Ripley. So
yeah, there's a series now, right?
There's a series on Netflix right now called Ripley. The 1999 version.
I did see that one.
Was actually not even the original. Purple Moon is the original based on the book. Anyway, so this story has been told multiple times. I think that each time it's told is actually telling it very interestingly in a different way. So personally, I think the Ripley series is something that has enough time in between and has been done well. There's a lot of movies, too, I don't even realize were reboots, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that's where it's, like, the good stuff.
That's the good stuff. But, like, if there's a movie that you hold in very high regard that they try to redo, at least me personally, I'm disinclined to like it because you're messing with a very fond memory to begin with.
So, again, I did this for Little Women. I really loved the 1994 version of Little Women with Winona Ryder and Claire Danes and Susan Sarandon. And I really loved the 2019 version. And I think that both versions tell a different story. So I think it's the care in which the people making the movie if they're super fans like me, then they'll make a good product, I think.
The Dump is coming up next, but first, Who's Hot and Who's Cold is brought to you by NextGen, the official AC heat and plumbing company of SoCal sports fans. Call 833-3-NEXTGEN. That's 833-3-N-E-X-G-E-N. Or, of course, you can visit nextgenairandplumbing.com. The Dump, next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We were having a debate in here with the difference between
I drew the line. I was like, yeah. I'm not crossing that. But.
So there's, you know how Willy Wonka, so the Gene Wilder one and then the Johnny Depp one, same story, just different characters, different person doing the story. So I would call that a reimagining. So same story, just different actors 20, 30 years later. Okay. But a reboot would be like the Wonka movie with Timothy Chalamet that came out this year, which is a prequel that tells a different side of the story. You guys agree with that?
So I
think that like sometimes the reimagining works if you almost forget about the original or if it's like it's a totally different style, you know?
1,000% agree, but the only difference is, and this is the perfect example, because the Gene Wilder Willy Wonka was one of my favorite movies as a kid. It just, it hits me, even now when you see it on HBO or whatever, like it's like, oh, I love this, and you'll watch it for half an hour or whatever. It's just a fun movie to watch. The Depp one, I'm not saying it's good, bad. I don't have a sharp enough eye. I'm telling you, I didn't like it because Gene Wilder wasn't in it. Gene Wilder had been dead for 20 years at that point, but it's just... You have a personal connection to the original piece of work that's hard to put aside. If you don't know it, I think it's just, oh, these are both cool. But if you've got that feeling for it, it's a little bit challenging.
And like the live action versus a cartoon, I think everyone's kind of, it's not always one rule that it doesn't work or it does work.
So Brock Purdy was on with McAfee yesterday, and apparently not only is he winning games every time he goes out there, but he's saving reporters from coyotes.
Okay.
Take a listen.
We're shooting this commercial by a hill on the outside of the city, and I see this thing, you know, trotting by, and it had a long tail. I was like, bro, it looks like a mini wolf. And sure enough, I like, no one was going to scream, and I was like, all right. And so I screamed, and I was like, yo, there's a coyote. And that thing went running off. But, yeah, it could have been an ugly day on the shoot, but we saved her.
Hey, that's Brock Purdy football.
That's right. Boom.
It's good decision making. It's pocket awareness. It's understanding that you don't want to make the big mistake that you manage the offense and you tell somebody when a coyote's sneaking up on
you. Coyote manager. So I think that it's the thing. He didn't like tackle the coyote and save the reporter that way, but he just basically was like, "Hey, coyote."
Yeah. Okay. Wait.
Right.
And the coyote got caught. And the coyote's like, all right, let me get out of here.
It's like Swiper and Dora the Explorer. Like,
right,
Swiper,
right.
No swiping.
Do you have coyotes in your neighborhood?
Yes.
Okay.
We do. You're out on the golf course a lot. I'm sure you see coyotes frequently.
Almost every time
they're
play.
They're comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have a problem.
They're not super scary.
No, but they're not scared of you either.
At all.
Yeah.
At all. But they also kind of hang around the fringe. They're not like... trying to sneak up on you or anything. A coyote, like if I saw a mountain lion, I would have an accident.
Here's the problem with the coyotes in neighborhoods, especially when I was in Silver Lake, where it's kind of back up by the woods, Pasadena, you know, that kind of. The problem is they're looking at your little dog.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's basically the only thing that they care about. So there's a lot of times, you know, we'll go take
a walk. But if you're with the dog, they're not going to mess with you, right? I'm asking. I don't know for sure, but they're not going to pick a fight with a 150, 60-pound guy.
They're not going to pick a fight with you, but they're going to try to see if they could snatch your little dog.
Hey, coyote!
So one time I was playing golf, and there was a blind tee shot down into a valley, and I'm playing on, like, the fifth hole, and I can see the valley, but the guys teeing off cannot. They just hit shots. So I see a young, like a baby coyote, run off a hill, look around. Some guy had a perfect drive right in the middle of the fairway. Coyote puts the ball in his mouth and runs back up the hill. And I went, we got to tell the guy. And so we go over to the thing. I go, I got good news and bad news. He goes, what's the good news? I go, you hit it right in the middle of the fairway. Bad news is now it's on that mountain. I go, is your playing partner going to give that to you? And the partner immediately is like, nope.
I was just going to say, I line think three. You got to play it where it lies, yeah. right? Or yeah. or you, it's a lost ball. Yeah, right. It's one or the other. It's one or the
going
other.
Up
hey,
in the hills.
Coyote.
That's a pretty good. Happy birthday to one of my favorites, Jennifer Garner, who turns 52 years old today.
Two syllables.
Jennifer five.
What about Garner?
Oh yeah, that's two. She's still bothered by that.
Because Connolly is three.
Connolly, Jennifer Connolly. Is it Jennifer Connolly or
Connolly's
Connolly?
Birthday or Garner's?
Garner's
birthday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, alias Jennifer Garner, former spouse to Ben Affleck, Jennifer Garner.
She runs a farm, apparently, for Capital One commercials.
We buying that?
She's got a new business.
No, she does. She owns that business.
She does?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think she's in the field picking
the
oranges.
She's killing it with Capital One.
Well, she's trying to walk around in the jeans and like the white like blouse kind of thing. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not buying her as a farmer. Like, I'm a huge fan of hers, but the farm thing kind of missed me.
When she was on Alias, she had about 5 years where she was an it girl. And I always describe an it girl with girls want to be best friends with her and guys want to date her.
Yes.
I don't know who that is now, but for about 5 years, it was her. And is there anyone that fits that description? Who do you want to be friends with?
So
Taylor Swift.
Florence Pugh, I think it's like that, if you know who she is.
Yeah.
Zendaya, I think it's like that. Girls
Zendaya,
love
that's a good
being
one.
Friends with her. And then Renee Rapp, if you know who she is. I think also,
hosted SNL.
Yeah.
I'm blanking on her name. You guys talked about that. She's in the movie with the guy from Top Gun.
Sydney Sweeney. Girls don't want to be friends with Sydney. They're intimidated by her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because she's
very beautiful.
She's chest first.
Ah.
If you know what I mean.
Is that? I think
girls,
I do.
Yeah. Girls. I think he knows.
I don't think you're being very subtle.
Girls.
I don't think I need a decoder ring.
I'll write down what he means.
Yeah. Yeah. She walks into a room and people stop paying attention to the other girls.
That might be fair. ESPN's broadcast of the Dodger-Padre game on Sunday Night Baseball was 1.961 million viewers. It's the most watched Sunday Night Baseball game that didn't have either the Yankees or the Red Sox. So is that a good bar? Still didn't beat the Yankees and Red Sox.
Can I tell you what I think that might be? Every NBA game, which was as important as can be on Sunday.
They were over, right?
They were all done by like 3.
Right.
And I don't think first pitch was till 4.
And Michael, it was rain delayed a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
Michael has an interesting theory that I wish they would adopt. So I'm stealing this from Michael. After the NFL season ends, after the Super Bowl,
okay,
why doesn't the NBA play all afternoon games on Sundays?
Before the game starts or after the game starts?
No, like, for example, most Laker games on Sunday night start at 6:30. Yeah. Why don't they start at 12:30?
Like across the board.
Right.
Yeah.
Like this past Sunday was.
And
when
you
they
could
started
have,
every
you,
game.
Is it a travel issue?
No.
John, what you could have is a Sunday night basketball game. You can have like a premier game that's at 5 o'clock, almost taking
but
kind of the
same
thing.
But you can also take the afternoons. You're basically competing against golf.
It's good. No, I like that.
Blow golf out of the water, too.
Well, golf is, Trav, you and I are watching golf, but Emily and Slee aren't.
No.
You know.
Well, and you
we're
and
all,
I
we're
are
all watching
the barely
league.
Hanging
clearly
on right
not
now.
Watching it.
Lowest I watched rated, the Masters.
Lowest rated Masters in 10 years.
Look, Scottie Scheffler is a great player, but he's an absolute zero from a personality standpoint. He's just not an interesting guy.
Until they get this live PGA Tour thing worked out, people are turned off by all the division in golf. They got to get it worked out.
But even like Rory, who's the best personality in golf right now? Is it Rory? And even he's pretty vanilla. Rory's not a
best
super
personality in golf.
Tom Kim?
Not a good enough player.
That's what I'm saying.
The
like,
only chatter about Rory too
people
is
love
if
Ricky
he's going
Fowler,
to live.
But he
he's
hasn't
not good
won
enough.
A major.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There
is
a
great.
That guy.
There's a great question. That's probably is Rory,
and Rory's pretty down the middle to use a bad golf cliche in this one. But yeah, you know what we should do, Jorge? We should do a little Supercross talk.
Hey, Coyote.
What is that? I think I'm going to adopt that
what
right
is
now.
That in reference to?
Emily, Brock Purdy saved somebody on the set of a commercial shoot by saying, "Hey, Coyote."
Yeah. Emily had to basically describe how the scene was, and that was her. That's how he was saved.
Yes.
She was saved.
By Hey, Coyote.
Hey, Coyote.
I know you guys will spend a lot of time on this. I don't want to spend a ton of time on it, but Zion doesn't go out of that game. Lakers playing Friday night.
I don't know.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
They got excited.
They couldn't stop
them.
No, they did.
They had no answers for him.
None.
But they couldn't stop the Lakers either. So it would have come down to the end. It
felt like the Mo had really switched
sides. Well,
momentum
switched, right. And they looked a little tired, too.
I was stunned. Matter of fact, I said it on the air, stunned that Darvin didn't call a timeout during that run. I mean, they were just coming. They had a 12-point lead, and they erased it all in like 3 minutes. And I'm like, where's the timeout?
Saving them for the other part of the tournament.
But as it turns out, at the end of the game, New Orleans had no timeouts.
Yeah.
They needed them.
They did.
So maybe
need
Darvin
one.
Was smarter than me.
Reggie had
there's
an interesting
game Friday,
game
isn't there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If Zion didn't get hurt, I think it was – they were coming.
Okay.
Were coming
can I – this guy – I think
wait,
every,
can I just – Emily, why do you hate haiku? Emily hates haiku.
Well,
do
I don't
you,
think that's don't what, I don't think haiku. That's what happened.
He's just
with
being a
Vic
cop.
The Brick.
Oh, that's true. Now, all day long, it's National Haiku Day.
It is.
Travis has been doing haikus, and Emily has been scoffing.
My
scoff.
My haiku was off of Emily being angry at Travis.
Oh, okay.
So
I
you're right.
I hear this one.
So you're right.
Yeah. I had several haikus that were regarding Travis's age.
Travis's age, okay.
Look, we got off on a bit of the wrong foot because I like a good haiku. I even like a bad haiku, quite frankly.
Who doesn't love a good haiku?
And so Emily dipped her toe into the haiku pond, and her first haiku was inaccurate. It had six syllables in the opening stanza.
Oh, Emily.
So then she called in the haiku police.
So when I pointed this out to her, she immediately turned her guns on me, and I've been in the crosshairs ever since.
Yeah. It's like getting a ticket for being 5 minutes late to your meter, which again,
but
I was 5 minutes late to my meter.
But the whole point of haiku is the structure.
I thought the In-N-Out Burger haiku
is a really good one.
Especially good.
John, would you like to hear it?
Especially good.
Sure.
That's not really enthusiastic, but you're going to hear it anyway.
Okay, good. He's very excited.
Yes.
Hold on.
Oh, get the glasses.
I can't read
my own writing. Exactly. All right, here we go.
Never disappoints. Animal style plus shake. What it's all about.
Oh, what it's all about.
Seems simple.
That third line.
But that's part of the idea.
You even got their slogan in there in the third line. Please.
Finally. Somebody that understands my brilliance.
That's what haiku's all about.
I love his response. Seems a little simple.
Yeah.
But that's the idea. You have to fit in a thought into a very tight format.
Right.
I thought it was brilliant. Would you like?
I thought. Would we like to hear more?
Yeah,
you have others.
Yeah, no. What about the Costco haiku?
You ready?
I like the Costco
haiku. I got one for just
haiku.
Emily, real quick, and then
okay,
go to Costco. So we did this one earlier. Emily, angry. Why are you so mad at Trav? I am now in fear.
I was
confused. Could be used any day.
Yeah.
That was Emily coming at us.
That was Emily.
You consider that good.
No.
That's not a good haiku.
I consider it a haiku.
I mean, if we had...
I didn't consider it a good haiku.
If we had haiku experts here as judges, that would not pass.
All right, how about this?
You know what would pass? Travis's Costco haiku.
Speaking of.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Hot dogs and tires. Diapers to silk-lined coffins. Extravaganza.
I love that it's one that the third one is just five syllables, one word.
We get each other.
These all suck.
That's you've captured the spirit of
it.
Thank you.
I think John got in really, really late last night.
And he's like,
I don't want to deal with any of you idiots.
I'm just getting through this thing today.
I literally woke up with the mother of all colds.
You sound a little nasal.
Oh, an hour ago I had no voice.
Oh, have you gone through did you go to your bag?
Yeah, I have deployed all of my tricks.
An emergency.
I have a feeling it's going to end like it did with you.
Uh-oh.
Where you came in, you tried to go, and Bergman pulled the plug on you.
Well, you got to be, let's be honest, Saturday afternoon is the big one.
Yeah, you got to be on your game.
So if I had a game tonight, I probably couldn't do this show.
No, seriously? You couldn't do the show because of the voice?
See. You'll see. My voice will not sound good in about an hour.
Because, you know, we've got world's greatest A, Greg Bergman, here.
Oh, yeah, Greg will hop in. Greg's already coming in.
Oh, yeah, no.
He's in the back going, la, 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 la. He's warming up.
It's like an understudy in a play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's ready to roll.
Okay, how did you feel during the game? Because I think...
Stoned.
Okay, that's good. Good. That's good.
Yeah.
Because Trav had the perfect explanation. I think every fan was... You're watching the game. Yep. Lakers go up 18. It's like, okay, hey, this is what they're going to do.
Cruise control. Let's roll.
There is no trying to be too cute with this.
They showed up. They took care of business.
Then it got close.
Yeah, it did.
And then it was, listen, I was under the same thing, too. I know there's no guarantee past Friday. I know they could, if they lost a game, they could lose Friday and the season's done.
Sure.
But there were definitely times like, the world's not going to end if they lose this game.
I thought the same thing.
And again, every...
I thought wouldn't be the worst thing in
the world. If it were a typical kind of elimination, I know it's not an elimination game, but like a very important game that, because if you lose now, all of a sudden you're in a one and done situation. The frustration of watching your team let an 18-point lead slip through its fingers. The frustration of the head coach not calling a timeout when you're hemorrhaging points. That Zion Williamson is just giving you the business would be somebody do something. This is and it was more like, hey, look, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. You know, it was
nobody
it
was really frantic. No, like, do that.
It wasn't that.
That's a weird way to watch a
game.
Yeah,
but then when they did win, it's like, okay, well, cool,
Ireland,
they won.
Ireland sort of described it best. He said, I think he said yesterday, it's kind of a no-loss situation.
Yeah, no matter what would have happened, they would have been fine. Although, if Sacramento would have played the way they played last night, nobody was beating them.
Yeah.
You think it's the end of the Warriors, as we know it?
I think Klay is gone. Mm. I think... I wouldn't be shocked if Wiggins is gone. Mm. I think
And Chris Paul is going to be gone for sure.
Yeah, I think Draymond and Steph will be back, and everybody else is all bets are off. Not even Michael knows if Clay's going
to
be there.
Yeah. Steph feels to me like the only sure thing, right? Because Steph is in the small group of people.
Who never changes his
Green just signed
his
contract.
Who else is
going to
take that money for Draymond, though?
I get in the short term, I'm with you on Draymond, but. Like, if I close my eyes and could I see Draymond Green playing for another team? I can't.
Yeah.
It feels like I could see Draymond. I have a really hard time with that with Steph. Like, I just don't ever see
Draymond's still effective.
I heard, I forget who I was listening to this morning, and they said that Clay's got to be prepared to go from 46 to 20-something.
I think the Warriors should offer Clay 2 years 50.
That seems about right, 20-something.
See if he takes it.
Yeah.
I think it's a good deal for him. And a good deal for them.
He had a perfectly fine year.
Is he going to get more from another team?
That's a good question.
But I'll tell you, not a great year for Klay Thompson if you compare him to himself.
No.
But if you compare him to everybody else in the league, still pretty decent year.
Is he a role player at this point in his career? Like, come off the bench, knock down threes, wait in the corner, and get that kick out? And is that the role?
No, he's better than a role player. He's a starter in the league, but...
I don't know. I think he might be better off the bench.
He's not a $40 million player anymore.
Yeah.
And neither is Chris Paul, by the way.
No. He's no, a Chris Paul zero. I mean, he was a non-factor across the board.
Yeah.
There was nothing that felt like, oh, that's Chris Paul. It's like, yeah, that's just a guy out there running around.
And they can't run it. I mean, imagine if they try to run it back. You're 10th in the West. Next year, Ja Morant's going to be back from Memphis. They'll be in the playoff mix. Houston was in the mix almost to the end of the season.
Year.
San Antonio, you figure with Wemby, they'll be better as well. They're kind of okay. Who comes out for them to like? Why would it be better next year? I don't see how it would be better for them next year.
From their team building perspective, they have added a couple of young pieces who are potentially going to be ascending.
Yeah, I like their draft picks.
Both Kuminga and Podziemski. Really
yeah, both yeah. are both are nice players now. I would imagine that's their room to grow. Do they want to hold it together in order to keep
like
this
for the
core?
Sake of the core? Like, maybe it's not the perfect decision from a basketball standpoint, but you have for like the big three of big threes.
Yes,
you have Thompson, Curry, Green, four titles together, three Hall of Fame players. All three have spent their entire careers with one team, with the not only Steve Kerr, but mostly Steve Kerr. Keep it together just to keep it together.
Well, the other dynamic here is that Joe Lacobs apparently said he wants to get under the luxury tax.
Yeah, they have the highest payroll in the NBA.
So, I mean, all of a sudden, if Chris Paul, that makes sense. Wiggins, potentially. Klay, if you can get him down to the 20s. Yeah, Klay and the Lakers.
Lakers don't have the money.
They can't afford him?
I don't think so. I don't know where they're going to get, because even if LeBron opts out, they're over the cap. Mm-hmm. So I'd be surprised if they figured out a way to get Klay here.
I wonder if there's going to be a team we're not talking about that has cap space and they're offering Klay.
Here's two teams you should watch.
Orlando
and Dallas. Everybody's saying,
Dallas.
Yeah. Mm. They both have money.
Dallas is interesting.
Dallas is really interesting.
That'd be a guard-heavy lineup. It'd be Kyrie, Luka, and Klay on the same team.
Yeah.
Orlando can use a vet like that. Sure.
I'm trying to see if I have any more haikus, Mace. I think I used them.
Don't share them with John.
John, yeah, John's on this.
Yeah, your haikus are very, basic.
See, I don't think you, Mace, am I wrong to say that he doesn't appreciate the form the way that you and I do?
Well, I think, Trav, and I say this with all due respect, you're no Vic the Brick.
No, it is, yeah. It is an art, but he did bring the haiku to Los Angeles.
Well, sure.
Haiku did not exist in L.A.
Shaquille,
until Vic the Brick.
The big bamboo. Bend don't break. See, that bend don't break isn't long
bend
enough.
Bend don't break. No, it doesn't work.
See?
Yeah.
I'm a stickler for the rules.
Emily is a hater. Oh, that line fits into the middle.
It could be, and by the way, there's a lot you could put on both ends of
that. Oh, yeah. That yeah. Would lots make of that beginnings and lots
very,
of ends.
Very, very true. Much like my haiku, Super Crosstalk is brought to you by In-N-Out. That's what a hamburger is all about.